The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for this week's edition of the Need to Know program. Everything you need to know. And, wow, I know what you all are expecting. I know you're tuning in and saying, okay, here it comes. He's going to rant and rave and talk about what happened in New York last week. It's going to be some gigantic Donald Trump defense. I'm not compelled to do that. I think that the whole idea of this insidious rigged trial, which is the biggest joke in American legal history, was to get people that are clued into what's going on in this country all riled up. I think they were actually hoping that people would take to the streets and start doing what their constituents do, burning down buildings and breaking storefront windows and looting stores and reacting with all kinds of just outrage and horror. That's not my reaction. And I think that pretty much regular Americans who are, as I mentioned before, clued into what's going on, because let's start with this premise. These people that are pulling the strings on all of this nonsense and attempts of turning everything upside down starts off with the conclusion that you, me, everybody listening, everybody walking around is stupid. That's what they think. They think we're all idiots, ignorant, dumb, reactionary people, and they don't understand that most people that have strong opinions in this area, and again, I'll say it again, I say it every show, I am not a Trump lover. I am not a Donald Trump disciple. I heard somebody this morning, I was watching the hearing with Dr. Tony Fauci, who is once again before Congress, and he is double-talking his ass off, trying to distance himself from any kind of accusation that the money, the budget he was overseeing that wound up being granted through Echo Health to the Wuhan lab, where the virus, the COVID-19 virus, obviously leaked from, that started the whole pandemic. And I'm still not totally convinced that the leak was unintentional. Remember, if you just listened to our intro, if it's not a conspiracy theory, if it's the truth. The timing was so convenient on the 2020, in the year of the election, where Donald Trump was up for re-election and he had plans in his second term that was going to completely sink the battleship of this leftist progressive movement. And it just so happens that also one of the other main conspirators in all this, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, was suffering from Trump derangement syndrome because he had completely turned everything upside down they've worked for years to accomplish, which is to get this gigantic trade imbalance with the United States and be able to produce a labor market that was so economical that major companies relocated to China in droves to take advantage of such cheap operating costs. Trump was really putting a dagger in all of that with the imposition of big tariffs and his insistence that they had to increase dramatically their import rate of American goods to close that trade imbalance. So you've got a lot of unholy conspirators in this whole process, and it's very interesting to kind of unravel that. We might have time to get into a little bit of that today. but it is a very, very thorough subject. So my reaction to the verdicts last week in New York was, of course, you know, that was inevitable. It was going to be guilty. I didn't think they would have the balls to find him guilty on all 34 felony counts, which is absolutely preposterous, because the last witness the defense tried to call before the trial was turned over to the final statements of the attorneys and the instructions of the judge, who basically was the another member of the prosecutory team, the most rigged, one-sided trial in the history of American legal system. The last witness was the former chairman of the Federal Election Commission, who was going to testify to the jury, who it wouldn't have mattered anyway, the fix was in, but he was going to say that there, after thorough review by the FEC, which is not a politically partisan group, that there was no election violations, federal election violations by Donald Trump, which were the emanation of the felony charges imposed by New York State, which has no jurisdiction. Let me say that again. They have no standing. They have no jurisdiction to prosecute federal election violations. But the way that they rigged this with something that's never been seen in American jurisprudence before. They took misdemeanor charges in New York over an entry in a accounting log that the money paid to the crooked attorney, the reputed liar, the admitted on the stand thief, a completely not credible witness who's already done time for lying to Congress and for just being an overall massive sleazeball, Mr. Cohen, his testimony basically to try to implicate Donald Trump in some kind of conspiracy that he and Trump cooked up a strategy to contain Stormy Daniels, the porn star, from telling her story before the election of how Trump engaged in improper sexual conduct with a porn star. She has admitted, she's changed her story 100 times. She admitted back in 2011 that she was trying to implement a physical encounter with Trump because her goal was to endear herself. And that's a pretty good way to do it, by offering yourself up sexually, because she thought she was going to be able to ride that, no pun intended, to a gig on the Apprentice show that Donald Trump was hosting at the time. And it was going to transform her career because she was already getting up into her later 30s and her shelf life as an adult star was probably on the serious decline. But that strategy, which that's what she's admitted, that she was a willing participant. And that story has been out since 2011. She shopped it around, tried to get people to buy it. No one was interested because Donald Trump already had a pretty strong background and legacy of conquests, if you want to call it that. The whole thing is sleazy and not... not exactly family content to talk about. But the bottom line is that was no surprise to anybody if he was indeed involved in that. And there was no corroboration except for her word that there was. So bottom line is that's how they married federal election violations to these misdemeanor charges that was hush money to be paid to Stormy Daniels to keep her from coming out with her story before the presidential election, when the story had already been out for at least 5 years. So it's absolutely ridiculous. And because of the fact that these misdemeanor accounting charges that the argument by the state of New York was should have been attributed to election contributions because they were designed to influence the outcome of the election. Absolute nonsense. It's got to be the stupidest charge and the stupidest, most fixed trial in the history of mankind. There's no way in New York City, Manhattan district, that Donald J. Trump was going to get anything close to a legitimate hearing, a legitimate judge, and a legitimate jury. They voted 92% for Joe Biden in 2020, if that tells you anything. But the fact that not a single juror, due to the instructions by the judge that you don't even have to be unanimous on all these charges, as long as the majority of you thinks he's guilty of anything. There's never been a charge to a jury like that in legal history, unless maybe it was the Old West in some hangman judge court. But it's the whole thing is so preposterous. But again, my reaction was not one of outrage or surprise. Of course, I hope that one person in there had the integrity and honesty to maybe say, I don't think that, you know, we're taking the word of a porn star and a convicted liar, and he's lied to Congress. He's he's been disbarred, by the way, and Michael Cohen. So the bottom line is that was the expert testimony, and the judge rigged the arrangements for the jury to where if you felt like there was any degree of guilt in any of these allegations, and you said so, if all 12 people had any inclination that there was any guilt in any of the of these different violations, then he could be convicted. And, you know, that is not the premise of our legal system. You are the defendant. You have all the rights in this particular case. You are innocent until proven guilty. This case had been looked at by the Southern District of New York. It had been looked at by the Department of Justice, which we know is weaponized and biased. It was looked at by other legal experts, including the agencies that in question here, the Federal Election Commission, New York State authorities in terms of accounting practices and corporate, conduct. Every single entity who looked at this said there's nothing here. But not Manhattan, not Alvin Bragg, the defense or the district attorney for Manhattan, who ran on the premise that I am going to get Trump and take him down. Again, this is like Soviet Russia under Joseph Stalin, when one of the most abhorrent dictators in the history of the world, when Joseph Stalin said, "You show me a man, I will find you some charges." So they constructed this ridiculous crime against Donald Trump, never even explaining what specific federal election violation he committed. And this jury came back in a day and a half with unanimous, supposedly, guilty verdicts in 34 counts. It's so outrageous, it's ridiculous. So my reaction was not surprise. It was not shock. It was not outrage. It was the expected verdict in this kangaroo court. And you could see as it unfolded how it was developing that this was going to be the final result. But what it does is galvanize so much of America now. It's a very, very hard push that doesn't create anger or outrage or frustration. What it creates is massive motivation. This cannot stand. If Donald Trump can be prosecuted and convicted on completely, and it's amazing the word is already in place, trumped up charges, which has a whole new meaning now. It can happen to any politician, any corporate executive, anybody in any walk of life. They can make up charges. They can assign the case to a radical judge. In this case, Marchant, the judge in this case, was hand-selected. He was not randomly selected as the process demands. His daughter is a major, major fundraiser for progressive and Democrat causes. He has contributed personally, which is a violation of ethics in the state of New York. He has contributed to Democrat campaigns, including Joe Biden's. He has contributed to funds that are designed to be anti-Republican. This guy is corrupt up to his eyeballs, and he is the one who gets the case. Oh, by the way, he also got the case of a Trump accountant named Weisselman, who's now serving time in Rikers prison, as they got a conviction for him that nobody really paid attention to, and also oversaw New York charges against Trump Lieutenant Steve Bannon. This same judge has drawn all three of those cases. What a coincidence. Unbelievable. So now we are motivated. We are galvanized. We are set in motion to start to take control of this situation. I was on a program this morning as a guest and talked about this reminds me of 1836. And remember the Alamo, because 257 people that volunteered to be there, knowing the Mexican army was on the march, and the first place they were going to encounter was the Alamo, which was a mission, really, that they had converted into a fort, but it was really insufficient for fighting. But the bottom line is 3,000 Mexicans accosted 257 patriotic Americans who believed in freedom and believed that Texas at that time was going to be its own country. They were trying to break away from Mexico. The president of Mexico Santa Anna, who and ironically in San Antonio, his first name was Antonio. He's known in historic annals now as just Santa Anna. But no, it's Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. He was elected president of Mexico in 1833, and saw fit to lead the excursion of a 3,000-member military force to go and get Texas back in line and get them paying their share, because that's Mexican territory. And there was a lot of people in a booming economy in Texas that had enough of the Mexicans. And Santa Anna encountered, of course, the people at the Alamo, 257 volunteers, including former four-term Congressman Davy Crockett, complete with his coonskin cap. Yes, the king of the wild frontier had brought 50 volunteers with him from Tennessee because they believed in the cause of freedom and the defeat of oppression. Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, whose family famously invented the Bowie knife, which is now still a staple, and of course William Travis, the commander of that regiment at the Alamo. They held off the Mexican army of 3,000 for 13 days as they kept trying to take that mission / fort. Came up with all kinds of innovative ways to wipe out a bunch of the Mexican troops, and it was spawned by this same yearning for freedom and the principles that our country is founded on with the constitutional backbone. Bottom line is, we're galvanized now to make that same kind of commitment. And I'm not advocating you put on your coonskin cap and grab your squirrel rifle, but there's lots of things we can do collectively. And one of those is to get in touch with Scott Presley, and his EVA, early vote, I forgot what the A stands for, but it you can find it under Scott Pressler and EVA. And basically, you can become a volunteer just sitting on your couch or your patio, sending preconceived text messages. You get a list of all kinds of phone numbers, and you can sit on your porch and send messages to people in swing states. Here in Alabama, where we're based, Alabama is deep red, of course. Trump will carry the election by 25 or 30 points, no doubt. But the bottom line of that is, you can affect voter participation and get people fired up in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan and Arizona and Nevada and Georgia, all kinds of states that somehow, some way, with the emergency of COVID in 2020, were able to go into the column of Joe Biden and led to his eventual victory, which, again, is a whole other show that we can do at some point and update you with a lot of things we found out. So bottom line, this is time for determination and motivation and taking of action. It's time for everybody to get involved. If you know neighbors, if you ride with an Uber guy, or girl, anybody you encounter in your daily life, ask them this specific question. Are you registered to vote at your current address? A lot of people are not participating, and these people, I'm sure, are aware of the danger that we're in, that our country is in great jeopardy now. Rush Limbaugh, shortly before he passed away, one of the most profound things he said near the end is, heed my words, everybody. The Democrats are only going to allow elections as long as they're guaranteed to win. At some point when that guarantee disappears, they are willing to do anything, and that means anything, to retain control and power, because this is an obsessive movement with all kinds of characters. I've told you repeatedly here that it's not Republican Democrat. This involves so many other elements from not only domestic enemies, but from around the world. So bottom line, get in the game. You've got to get involved. You've got to get the word out. You've got to do things, basic things. Volunteer in your county to be an election monitor. The 2020 COVID excuse, they made people stand back 150, 200 feet. They can't monitor any ballot counting from there. You can volunteer. You can be a captain in your county and get a and organize your own ballot monitor, your counting monitors. There's so many things that can be done. Check out Scott Pressler, P-R-E-S-S-L-E-R, who's now working with the Republican National Committee. He's one of the great vote registration persons in the country, and it's time for every American who loves this country and loves our founding principles and our way of life to get on board, because it's not going to be here much longer if we allow this to continue to erode, sticking our head in the sand, saying, well, I'm not interested in politics. I can't listen to all that. That's lame. This country is founded on, just like those guys at the Alamo, if it's worth something, you fight for it and you commit to it. And to be an exceptional country, American exceptionalism is not a boast or a brag. It is a high bar way of life that we all need to adhere to. And the standard is set in this country, and there are so many different people, and we'll talk about this next week, that are hell-bent on taking it away from you and taking away our country. So that's what I had to tell you today. It's not time for outrage. It's not time for anger. It's not time for frustration. It's time to get motivated. Remember the Alamo, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.